story about one of the greatest PSYOPs in history. The PSYOP that you deserve less and less every year. And that you should work harder and harder for less and less. The PSYOP that to be broke was the American way. The PSYOP that you should be lucky to pay your bills. The PSYOP that it's normal for prices to go up every year, forever. The PSYOP that it's normal to pay taxes. When you're born, death and taxes are the only certainty, they would tell you. The PSYOP that you need to make $80,000 a year to take care of your family, then $100,000, and then $150,000. Now they tell you both you and your wife need to work to achieve financial freedom. So you hire the nannies, you hire the babysitters, you leave your community. You just don't have time for them anymore. Because you and your wife embarked on individual careers. These careers that took you away from your kids, your spouse, your home, your community. And they told you this was normal. It's totally normal to spend two-thirds of your time away from your family. It's normal to fight and get divorced. And it has nothing to do with the economic decisions and policies made by the government. None of it was normal. It was all nefarious. And it chipped away at what it meant to be an American. It chipped away at your self-esteem. It chipped away at your marriage, at your family. Until you looked up and one day no one was married anymore. No one was succeeding unless they were heavily leveraged. One day you woke up and realized you don't recognize the world around you. Until Trump. President Trump came along and said, "This is your country and that's your money." And he wouldn't back down. All the people that were destroying you came out and spoke against him. They went to great lengths to undermine his agenda. When President Trump hit his stride in 2019, they released a biological weapon that was the largest PSYOP in global history. COVID. They ran the scamdemic. They extorted trillions of dollars out of your economy. Then they stole your election overtly, hijacked your democracy, put up barbed wire fencing around your capital, and told you it was normal. During the next 4 years, they would unleash an invasion the likes of which no nation had ever seen. Hundreds of thousands, if not millions of illegals, poured in the United States of America and began gobbling up whatever remaining resources were in existence. You were deemed a domestic terrorist by those in power. They surveilled your phones, your computers. They surveilled your lives, but it wasn't enough to stop Donald Trump. When they couldn't undermine his campaign through the courts and lawfare, they eventually tried to kill him, again and again and again, until that fateful day in November, when President Trump and America reclaimed their sovereignty. With him, he brought the richest man on the planet, for free, named Elon Musk. They then began uncovering and publicizing all of fraud, theft, waste, and abuse of the American taxpayer. They have threatened him. They have threatened his family. Subversion is all they have left. Infiltration is all they have left. Their funding is drying up. This is your Liberation Day.
Now that was an excellent production. Kudos to the Dilly meme team for that production. Exactly right. They're exactly right, folks. I'm going to be joined by Vish Burra on the other side. He's sort of one of the latest cancellation figures, one of the latest figures to be canceled on the right for, you know, not being adequately friendly to the people who hate us, I think, is what the crime was, what his vicious crime was. So we're going to talk to him and just talk about sort of the ongoing MAGA civil war, if that's what you want to call it. I think it's more of a outside invasion of MAGA, trying to warp it and distort it and bring it to their own ends, and in the process, destroying MAGA and the Republican Party, because that might actually be the goal overall. In the meantime, I do want to remind you, we've got the biggest sale ever going on at thealexjonesstore.com, thealexjonesstore.com/Harrison, if you want to let them know who sent you. But right now, it's buy one, get one free on all supplements, which again is outrageous. Sometimes you get buy one, get one free sales on stuff that doesn't sell. We sell out of this stuff routinely. So go now. Make sure you can get it. And if you sign up for it to be delivered regularly, then you will be guaranteed a bottle of your favorite supplement, even when we sell out for everybody else. So go today to thealexjonesstore.com/Harrison. Buy yourself some Christmas presents. You deserve it. We'll be right back.
Hey, the Alex Jones app, AJN Live, is now the number one app in the world. That's right, you heard me. We're number one. And this is pissing off the Democrats in the deep state big time. They're doing everything they can to shut us down, and now here we are, dominating the Apple Store.
Smells like victory.
We just launched the app less than 2 days ago, and we're already the number one news app in the world. And we'd like to keep it that way, so if you haven't done so yet, now's your chance. Go to alexjonesapp.com and download the app and tell the globalists to go f*** themselves.
Listening to The War Room with your host, Harrison Smith. Watch it live right now at x.com.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Third hour of The War Room is on. I'm your host, Harrison Smith. Follow us on X at InfoWars at the, at Real Alex Jones. You can follow me at Harrison H. Smith, at War Room Show, and at AJN Live. Make sure you're following all of those because, you know, InfoWars is not long for this world, to tell you the truth, and you're going to want to be able to find us in whatever manifestation we end up in. I'm very happy to welcome my guest, Vish Burra. He is a political operative who's played a major role in the MAGA movement really since it began, although he's had a little bit of trouble recently. We're going to talk about that because obviously he's not the only one targeted for cancellation, being just way too patriotic and edgy. You can follow him on X at Vish Burra. Welcome to the show, Vish.
Hey, Harrison. Thanks for having me on, man. I really appreciate the time.
Well, it's my pleasure. And what happened, man? What happened? You were a producer for OANN. What happened, man? What'd you do? What went wrong?
Well, you know what? Let me just start off by saying I want to thank the folks at One America News for the opportunity to work with them and produce that brand new show that I was brought on to produce with Matt Gaetz and the Matt Gaetz Show. And I'm really proud and honored and gracious for Matt Gaetz too, to give me that opportunity to work with them on that show. And it's been making a major impact, especially in critical moments in the conversation we've been having over the past year, especially when it comes to Israel, the 12-day war, and the like. So I don't want to kind of relitigate or put any blame on OAN or Matt Gaetz. They've been nothing but wonderful to me, and they will continue to do that. But the reason that we're here today, why I was canceled, is really a singular focus on one thing that I did in about 24 hours prior to actually, you know, putting up the post that would get me canceled, right? And so what I did was that I exposed a billionaire that was actually, my sources at the Heritage Foundation had informed me that Susie Leibowitz Edelman was the singular billionaire donor who was coordinating and leading the effort to coup Kevin Roberts at the Heritage Foundation. Wow. And so when this information came to me, and including her donor history and portfolio that included a hit squad like Media Matters, Hebrew Immigrant Aid Society, American Jewish Congress, and the like, I had basically put together a thread exposing her, and the thread was catching fire. And the next morning after I posted that thread, I woke up to a fan-made cartoon, a Sora cartoon that I didn't make. I didn't sit there working hard on a Sora prompt to generate this thing, but a fan made it. I thought it was funny. It basically captured the essence of me exposing this Zionist cabal, really, because the two people that were addressed in that video, in that cartoon, were Susie, as in Susie Leibowitz Edelman, and James, as in James Lindsay, someone who's not Jewish, but certainly a Zionist. And so I took this cartoon and used it to troll Susie harder, to get a reaction out of her, get a rise out of her. And in about 4 hours from me posting that cartoon, it was written up in Mediaite by Isaac Shore, Israel First's number one operative at Mediaite, as a wildly anti-Semitic cartoon. Now, they make this judgment basically because the scheming room that is portrayed in the cartoon had the Star of David emblazoned all over it. Now, the Republican Jewish Coalition, American Jewish Committee, any Jewish organization on earth will use the Star of David to represent their cause, to represent and symbolize their cause. But when I do that, to use it to imply the same thing, they called that anti-Semitic. And then in that scheming room, I portrayed Susie, or I didn't, but the cartoon itself portrayed Susie and James as cockroaches and amongst their cabal there. But it wasn't really meant to be anti-Semitic in the way that it targeted Jews. But it certainly was a critique about the Zionist cabal that's trying to destroy the MAGA movement, that is trying to break up and destroy the MAGA movement on behalf of Israel, Zionism, and this Israel First cabal. And so, hey, was it a lapse of better judgment on my part? Perhaps. But anti-Semitic, or that I tried to target Jews, or that all these cockroaches are supposed to be Jews, that's nonsense. And I was smeared basically because I was focusing on exposing Susan Leibovitz Edelman as the main character behind the coup of Kevin Roberts at the Heritage Foundation.
Wow. And I get it. I mean, we're showing the cartoon here. When light gets shined on cockroaches, they run away. I mean, I think that's pretty obvious what the sort of metaphor is here. It's not calling Jews insects. It's saying when you shine light on roaches, you flip the light on, they all scatter. It's a turn of phrase. It's a very common thing. And of course, you know, there's somewhere else where the Star of David is used, and that's on the flag of Israel. So if you're talking about a foreign nation interfering in American politics, I don't see how using the symbol of that nation means you hate all the people of the religion that that nation, you know, claims to represent. But it's just another example of sort of the cancellation that's happening on the right, this MAGA civil war. And it's gotten so far. So now I guess that would be because Tucker interviewed Nick Fuentes, and then the Heritage Foundation didn't disavow that. Now you're being canceled because you exposed the person who it's like. It's so far away from what the original crime was, if you can even call it that. The cancellation's out of control. I mean, this is doing serious damage to the Republican Party, Vish. I mean, this is not just sort of squabbling. I don't know how the Republican Party maintains any, you know, political power whatsoever if we are being torn down by people who quite often value a foreign country over our own. Why are we being made to submit to this?
Well, look, the fact of the matter is, Harrison, that the victory of MAGA in the GOP over the last decade is what's directly leading to what you're seeing now. Now that the sort of broader elites, well, you know, whether that's the billionaire elite or the political elite in our country, the GOP elite of old, now sees that basically MAGA is the future, and this sort of new right-wing politic that Donald Trump opened the door for when he first won in 2016 and then kept that door open once he won again in 2024, all these people realize that MAGA is the future. But what they also realize is that they are not in control of MAGA. Right. MAGA developed its own heroes, its own characters, its own organizations, its own apparatus over this last decade to be able to actually see our political project come to fruition. But now that that political project has come to fruition, everyone who wasn't in on it early, whether that's by donating, whether that's by sweat equity, actually participating or organizing, getting the message out, using their platforms, all those people now want to be in control of this political project that we call MAGA, and they want to be to do it by disregarding the base's notions of what MAGA is in the first place. And not only that, trying to gaslight them and tell them, actually, this is what MAGA is about the whole time. MAGA has always been about forever wars in the Middle East, right? And has always been pro-Israel. Now, the thing that's really the gaslight there is that MAGA has been anti-interventionist from the very beginning, from the moment Donald Trump said on the stage in the debate against Bush. Jeb Bush essentially said, your brother did 9/11, right? And that was the moment. That was the moment that kind of flipped and kind of gave us that anti-war candidate. And come 10 years later, now we're being told that actually, you know, that never happened. Actually, Donald Trump was pro wars the whole time. And so when the base rejected this notion that we should go to bomb Iran in the 12-day war, everyone who came up with that base over the last decade rejected that vociferously. Tucker, Bannon, Gates, Candace, all the heroes. And then now they're being smeared as anti-Semites, as Nazis, as not real MAGA, as Islamo-fascists, as Marxists, as the woke right. Every label on earth has been deployed to basically try to steal away MAGA from its original heroes and shift it to these folks who want to drive the GOP's policy with a priority to Israel and Israel first. And that is the main goal. And that is exactly what we need to stop. There is no way MAGA and America first is Israel first in any way, shape, or form, and it will never be. And so this is the crux of the MAGA civil war as we speak right now.
Yeah, 100%. I could not agree more. And, you know, I even take it back to, I was on Reddit on the Donald, you know, early on in Trump's career, and it was distinctly anti-Israel. And then as soon as he became the Republican candidate, you saw a shift. There were mods that were kicked out, other mods brought in, and suddenly it had a pro-Israel bent. So this has sort of been a strategy for a while. Is they see how successful MAGA is, and they go, ooh, we better be in charge of that because that's going to be the future. And it's they do it dishonestly. I mean, you've got Ben Shapiro claiming he's going to define what MAGA is. He took the vaccine. He was in favor of the Iran war. He's was anti-MAGA until Trump got elected. I mean, it's just absurd for these people to claim ownership of MAGA when they, out of anybody, did so much to hurt Trump from a position on the right. It's really just absurd and kind of insulting. They expect us not to like go along with this or expect us to bend to the threats. I think it's outrageous. I'm bummed that, you know, you as a very effective person and Matt Gaetz and his fantastic show, I've really enjoyed, you know, seeing it. And, you know, it's a lot of people have shows. Not everybody, you know, you see clips getting posted. A lot of Matt Gaetz clips get posted because it's a very good show. So it seems like, again, just sort of shooting ourselves in the foot, trying to kick out the most popular and influential people of the party. It's just suicidal to me. And we know how unpopular Israel is, and it's only getting less popular. Why would we tie ourselves to this sinking ship when it's only going to take the Republican Party down with them? It's very infuriating. And oh, how Ben Shapiro conquered the MAGAverse. How did he conquer the MAGAverse, Vish? Was it through argumentation? Was it through having the better points? Or perhaps were there some other strings being pulled? I'm insulted by all of this.
No, this is a giant media operation. Ben Shapiro never conquered the MAGAverse. In fact, I would say the MAGAverse conquered Ben Shapiro, where now he's having to bend and respond to our gripes, to us chimping out, right? And so actually we conquered him. But this whole thing kind of jumped the shark. The moment that Bibi Netanyahu, the prime minister of a foreign nation, decided he was going to define what was MAGA and what wasn't.
Right.
And that was when this whole thing broke wide open, in my opinion, because when you have a foreign leader of a foreign nation interfering in factional politics in America, domestic factional politics in America, that's when this whole thing essentially blew up. And the reason that this is going on is because the Republican Party needs and really survives by big money donations. They were always kind of the corporate party and needed that corporate money. And as they move away from that, they need to plug those gaps. And the new kind of coalition that or class of donors that is now trying to fill that void in the GOP, it are these basically ex-progressive Jewish billionaire donors, or still are progressive Jewish billionaire donors, but realize that perhaps on a national level, perhaps at the presidential level, they need to work with and donate to the GOP, because the GOP is the only party that is steadfast in its support of Israel and is willing to deploy United States resources, blood, treasure, you name it, in the defense of Israel. And I think that this goes back to Susan Leibovitz Edelman, who's trying to whitewash her history and scrub and sort of Stalin her whole history as a progressive donor funding hardcore leftist causes into sort of now a Trumpian conservative donor who donates to TPUSA and the Heritage Foundation and the Manhattan Institute. They're really trying to remake their image so that they can then control the party in the future. And their cronies and their characters that they're building up through their networks are going to be the ones who lead this movement, especially online and in the public sphere. So, you know, these are, and Ben Shapiro is kind of king of that coterie of influencers who are going to be the ones who are going to replace all your MAGA heroes. That's their plan.
And it's not going to work. Even Breitbart now is writing articles about how the Bushes want to, you know, reclaim the Republican Party. And it's like that time is over, y'all. I mean, if you go back to the Bush era Republican Party, you're just not going to win anymore and people are going to go elsewhere. So it really seems like a suicide pact to go down this way. You know, Candace Owens, Nick Fuentes, we have bit more viewers than Ben Shapiro does. He's not leading anybody anywhere. And of course, their attempt to cancel Tucker Carlson, of all people, it's like you couldn't pick a worse target. Everybody loves Tucker Carlson, knows he's like pro-America. To try to frame him as Tucker Katarlson, it shows the desperation, the outrageous and a sort of absurd nature of a lot of these claims. And it sort of goes on and on. This has been the shadow war of Trump's second administration the entire time, from the Signalgate scandal and the attempt to start the war with Iran. I mean, there's been this shadow warfare behind the scenes of the pro-Israeli faction desperately trying to destroy the lives of anybody who stands up against them. And it's really kind of brutal. And then we have the story from today. It was revealed that Ambassador Huckabee held meetings with Jonathan Pollard, who's an ex-spy, who talks about threatening America with nukes. And I mean, it's just a criminal. Like, he's just a terrible person that when he was caught in the 80s, it was this giant scandal. Mike Huckabee's meeting with him in secret. And it's this type of stuff that we're like, why are we putting up with this? We're America. We just want America first. We're sick of being, you know, at the beck and call of this little pointless country in the Middle East. It's infuriating. And that's not an anti-Semitic thing to say. It's a pro-American thing to say. Can you help sort of delineate that, the claim of anti-Semitism versus pro-Americanism?
Well, look, first of all, it's simple in just that example that you point out where Ambassador Huckabee is hosting Jonathan Pollard in the U.S. Embassy. I don't care what color, what religion, what race Jonathan Pollard is. He is a traitor. He is a traitor to the United States, right? And the fact is that we're hosting him. Why? What is the benefit there? What is the pretext? The only benefit there is that it is in service of the nation of Israel, right? And that Bibi Netanyahu is a big fan of Mr. Pollard. And if he's a fan, well, then, you know, Mike Huckabee is going to be a fan of him, too, and host him. I don't know why he kept that off his calendar, because probably he knew and understood the implications of people knowing that this guy was hosted in the U.S. Embassy after he was a traitor to the United States. And look, this is the problem that we're trying to address now, is that any criticism of Israel, any criticism of these people who are traitors to the nation, like Jonathan Pollard, who happens to be Jewish, who said that that every Jew has some kind of dual loyalty in him, that is an anti-Semitic remark out of him. And he's Jewish, right? Or at least considered anti-Semitic, right? Right. If you're accusing people of dual loyalty because of you know, them being Jewish, and that they have some loyalty to Israel. And so if they're saying it themselves, but if I simply repeat it, or I just copy exactly what they say and throw it back out there, they're calling that anti-Semitic. And so really, Harrison, what this is that they can talk about whatever they want in whatever fashion that they want, but if we say the exact same thing, they are going to smear us as anti-Semitic. They're going to smear us as Nazis, as you name the epithet. I mean, it just reminds me of the left back in 2016 and those years, right? Yeah. Even pre to COVID, they sound like the left. And this is part of their tactics, to try and smear everyone, get every competition or competitor of messaging out of the way by using these accusations, and so that they can go on and do what they want on behalf of Israel with impunity. And that is something that we as patriots need to stand up against. There is no way in hell that Americans, real Americans, are going to allow Israel to dictate the terms of United States foreign policy, domestic policy, or even speech patterns, right? They're not going to change our 1A culture because they don't like something that was said. They don't like a cartoon that was made. They don't like a joke that was said. They don't like that this information has been exposed. We have to fight against this. This is the same censorship that we've stood against back in 2016 through COVID, through 2020, and it's now rearing its ugly head in 2025. And this time it is because of Israel and basically young Americans' lack of positive sentiment towards Israel. There is no way I'm going to let our nation be subject to these kind of foreign influence operations on behalf of a foreign nation. There is no way George Washington would turn over in his grave if we as Americans allowed that to happen. And I'm not going to let that sit on my soul that that's what we allowed to happen.
100%. Vish, let me ask you, can you stay on for a little longer? I don't know if we have you booked for the whole hour or not. Can you stay for the whole hour?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Great. That way we'll because I want to watch the video of Jonathan Pollard and get into all of that, because I completely agree with you. It's infuriating and it's nonsensical. And I can't even understand what the logic is. To me, if I was Israel, seeing the way things are going, seeing the hatred that my behavior is inspiring, seeing, you know, the polling numbers go down and being sort of forced to accept this ceasefire, I would be looking at this and going, all right, this is an opportunity for us to maybe rebuild our image. Maybe we back off a little bit, let the heat cool down. But it's like they can't. It's like they just keep doubling down. They just keep going harder. It's like the more they censor people, the more people get mad at them, the more people get mad at them, the more they censor. And we're just in this death spiral. And I just want to see it interrupted. So it's like, I'm not even pro-Israel, but if I was Israel, I would be doing things differently. And I almost want to give them advice to be like, y'all, you just got to chill. You just got to stop trying to censor everybody. It's pissing everyone off and making it worse for you. It's almost like they have to realize that, right, Vish? I mean, they have to realize, and I think that is part of it as well, is the more crazy Israel goes, the more so-called anti-Semitism arises in America. And that's what's behind it, by the way. They want to tell you it's in your DNA, or it's, you know, just this senseless, it's about poisoning wells in the Middle Ages. No, it's a response to the behavior of Israel and the videos that we see of murdering children and the outrageous statements they make, you know, when they're bragging about it. That's what pisses people off. So you got to stop doing that. Like, it's not complicated, but it seems like they do it deliberately to increase anti-Semitism, because the more anti-Semitism there is, the more laws they get to pass and the more they get to, you know, destroy our freedoms. Do you think, how much do you think that's a part of it, that the deliberate fostering of anti-Semitism?
Well, I think that is definitely some part of it. I think that there is definitely a operation of some sorts where people will act this way to try to increase anti-Semitism out there in the real world, so that ADL and all these organizations can justify their existence and ask for more donations. I think that there is a part of that, but really, Harrison, I think what's happening here is I think that they're desperate, that they are just desperate. And the population that was really had their side, that really had their back, which is the boomers, is dissipating every day, right? And then even young evangelicals compared to older evangelicals, they are, you know, not as pro-Israel as their you know, parents and grandparents and et cetera. So I think that they realize that their only time to address this issue is now, while they have Trump in the presidency, and that's why they are acting super desperate to try and change the sentiment everywhere they can.
I think it is backfiring. I think it's going to continue to. More with Vish Burra on the other side. Follow him on X at Vish Burra, and we'll be right back. Don't go anywhere, folks.
They know what they're doing. They mean business. They've already conquered most of the world. And they're not going to stop. George Soros stole the pension funds of dozens of countries' old people. The left loves him. He crashes currencies. He puts old people on the street. He helps Adolf Hitler round up Jews. They love that. That's power. That's the pure exercise of will to them, because they're such disgusting people. Look at Mondami. Look at Alexander Soros. Those are the most disingenuous, fake, wicked, manipulating people that have nothing but absolute, total rage towards you and your family. You're a hard-working middle-class black family, they hate you. You're a hard-working middle-class Hispanic family, they hate you. You're a hard-working middle-class white family, they hate you. They hate anything that ever stood up to total power and total control. It's in their textbooks of why the West must be destroyed, so there's no example anybody else and no hope worldwide. nothing but darkness and evil rulers that can do whatever they want. And how they convince the West that we're the authors of the evil, that we're the authors of slavery, that we're the authors of darkness and destruction. When despite all our problems, the West has been the great light. And they don't deny that in Japan. They don't deny that as philosophers, even in India. They teach that there still, but not here. You've got to be taught that you are bad. You are evil. So you must bow down and give up your life force, give up your will, give up your survival instinct, and learn to hate yourself, because the world's going to end. Because the ice caps all melted, the polar bears all drowned. None of it's true. And you know it's not true. But when AOC and all of them tell you the world ends in 2030, well, under their 2030 agenda, the world as you know it is over. And any free market capitalist system of competition is over. And the mega corporations through the governments rule you. And they do it all through class envy. When it is the billionaire globalist class, the BlackRocks, the Larry Finks that are running all of this. So when you hear everybody that wants welfare and everybody that wants a free lunch, everybody that's a criminal, everybody that wants to get away with murder is going to come to New York, and that, boy, that's stupid, that'll destroy the city, that's the plan. And then as that falls, and as they bring in even more foreigners, that boils into the next town, boils into the next city. And the incredible corruption of the Democratic Party and all the money they steal and all the things they do. They want to destroy all the tourist centers. They want ugliness. They want homelessness. They want homeless camps everywhere. They want rats running around the street. While Larry Fink lives on a 20,000-acre gigantic mansion that rival what the King of England has. But, oh, he's up there telling you if you're making $100,000 a year, you're a rich, evil, white person, and you better do whatever he says. And they're destroying the means of production. The big banks don't want competition. They want to destroy the means of production so they can then issue you credits when you're in debt. They already own 80%+ of the assets in the world, but now they've got to get the last 20%. Not just because they're greedy like Scrooge McDuck that wants to swim around in gold, but because they want to dictate everything to us. They don't want you to have anything. Not a garden, not your health, not a little farm, not a skill. Not be able to say 2 + 2 = 4. Not be able to fix an engine because all the engines are computerized and won't let you. They want a post-human world with robots delivering us all our food and everything else. The poison food. It is a premeditated international globalist takeover, and they admit it. It is deliberate. It is a plan, and you can stop a deliberate plan. Deliberate. Deliberate. Premeditated. 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 Premeditated.
Receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
Welcome back, folks. This is The War Room. I'm your host, Harrison Smith. My guest is Vish Burra. You can follow him at Vish Burra on X. He's a political operative who is being punished for revealing the truth about who is weaponizing cancel culture on the right these days. It's that classic quote, you know, first they came for Nick Fuentes, and I didn't speak up because somebody told me he was a gay fed. And then they came for Tucker Carlson for interviewing Nick Fuentes, and I didn't speak up because somebody told me he was funded by Qatar. Then they came for Kevin Roberts, who's the head of the Heritage Foundation, because he wouldn't condemn Tucker Carlson for interviewing Nick Fuentes. It's almost like the house that Jack built. It's like it's so far from, anything making any sense. It's like we're canceling people for refusing to cancel people, but you're saying that we're the woke right. It's all convoluted and nonsensical. Tends to happen when liars get involved. So, Vish, I know it must just be kind of baffling to you, you know, getting canceled for this when I thought free speech was kind of our thing. And you might be a weirdo like me. Like, I'm a weirdo. I've got this weird thing I do, and you might do it too, where you treat Israel like every other country. Is that your stance? Because that's how I do it. And it makes everything pretty simple. You just don't care who they are or what their religion is or what their justification for what they're doing is. You just treat them like everybody else. And when you do that, you find they're kind of evil and should probably be stopped. The nation of Israel, not Jews, the nation of Israel. And I'm always clear on that delineation. But it's like, why can't we just treat Israel like any other nation? What is it about Israel? Is it Epstein? Is it the blackmail? Because it seems like at the heart of all these different scandals that are constantly popping up, it's Israel and their control of our government that's the real issue here that we really can't solve if we can't talk about it.
Yeah, look, the reason I think, Harrison, that Israel is really such an important part of our conversation, our body politic here in America, is because really the memory of America amongst the existing generations goes back to World War II, right? Like right. That most of the boomers, like that's their great myth. Is World War II and the defeating the Nazis and saving the Jews from the Holocaust. And that's fine. You know, when they came up, that was the mission. It all worked out for them. Home values were going up. Stock market was going up. If we got to ship a couple billion to Israel every year to keep them okay, that's fine because everything looks good for me. So there was I think that was basically the sentiment for post-World War II. And that was all fine until everything so crashed. Now this is 80 years after the end of the war, essentially. And it's completely new generations, completely new economic situation. The internet changed everything a couple times over in the last two decades. So we have new problems that we need to address, and that might include, rethinking our deal with Israel as Americans. Right. And I think that Israel does not want to move away from the deal that they've been used to since its existence. Right. And so I think that the younger generation wants a new deal and they're clamoring for it. And Israel doesn't want to give up that new deal. And the boomers want to help keep Israel propped up for as long as they can. And then on the other side of that, really, Harrison, that I think a lot of people don't give enough credence to is that I think the Jewish people globally, they're actually really diverse, right? They come from a lot of different backgrounds, a lot of different national backgrounds, et cetera. There's Sephardic Jews, Mizrahi Jews, Ashkenazi, et cetera. But the thing that really, I think, unifies them today more than anything else is the sort of mythos of the Holocaust, right? And that is actually what keeps them together, this sort of universal victimhood narrative that allows them to be unified with each other because of this great wrong that was done to them. But the thing is that no longer has the currency that it did in the immediacy of the end of World War II. This is, again, we're almost a century after now. Most people do not remember it. Most people aren't beholden to that memory or that myth, and they don't want to be, right? I am trying to treat Israel as just any other country, whether that's, Iran or that's something in South America, is India. My parents are from India. I never talk about India because, quite frankly, I don't care, right? I don't care about all these old world nations. This is America. I'm an American. The whole point of being an American is to leave your old world stuff in the old world, right? All your caste system, all your tribal, differences, et cetera, that's supposed to stay there. But the fact is that now those tribal blood feuds are being imported en masse into America, and that's on both sides. And Americans don't want either part of it. They don't want either side of it anymore. And especially because it leads to so many people overseas hating Americans because we can't keep our nose out of other people's business. And so it's an American position through and through to want to treat Israel just like any other foreign nation, and that they don't get any special carve-outs. They don't get any special treatment. And if we're going after one country with a ton of tariffs and a ton of scrutiny on whether they're allowed to send their students to our country or not, or how many people from their country can come, those same standards should be applied to Israel. And to even put a fine point on that, there was reporting recently in, I think, the American Conservative that talks about the FBI having a special class of criminals, organized criminal activity that they designate as IBOCs, IBOCS, which is Israeli-based organized crime syndicates. Hmm. Nobody knew that this classification level existed in the FBI, and then come to find out that embassies and the State Department were giving visas to people who were suspected of being involved in IBOX, that they were actually, but you know, that they're allowed to come to our country, even though that they might be part of some Israeli crime syndicate. We don't allow that for any other criminal organization on earth. The Italian mafia, you name the Yakuza, right? We won't allow anybody in this country who's associated with that, but we allow Israelis. This is the people see this every day. They hate the hypocrisy. They hate the double standards. If you don't like DEI and you don't like affirmative action, you can't be for this kind of DEI affirmative action in our foreign policy that's specially carved out for Israel, period.
Could not agree more. You brought up a bunch of good points there. Obviously, the point about, like, yeah, we can send billions of dollars to Israel, which is not that big of a deal. But like, when we're suffering, we can't get what we need and they all have free health care. Yeah, you're going to start to cause some resentment. And, you know, I think it goes even deeper than what you're saying, or you're sort of hinting at the phenomenon that's taking place. I'm sure you saw the video that went viral from, I think it was the Jewish Federation Association, where the woman is saying, you know, Holocaust education is backfiring on us because we teach kids, you know, with these imagery from the Nazis, how bad it is, because you see the big, strong Nazis, you know, oppressing the poor Jewish people. And now they're seeing similar things happen in Gaza, and so now we look like the bad guys. And it's like, well, yeah, I guess that is what's happening. I mean, it's weird. They don't get why it would piss people off to see a pretty much literal Holocaust going on. Do you just lose power there, Vish? I saw you go dark a little bit.
I'm still here. All right,
we're still connected. Okay. Yeah, I hope you're all right. But yeah, it seems like it's all gone backwards. But here's where it gets really crazy. They call you a Nazi if you oppose Israel, but the reason I oppose Israel is because they're doing a lot of the same stuff the Nazis were doing, collective punishment, you know, no free speech, you know, cracking down on religious minorities. So there's this weird inversion now where you're a Nazi if you're not a Nazi. If you don't like censorship, if you don't like authoritarianism, like those are the things we went to war over. We didn't know about the death camps or any camps until after the war was over. So it's not like that's why we were going. We weren't going to rescue the Jews. We were going because we didn't like the ideology that, you know, would beat people if they didn't do the salute exactly right and would, you know, demand that you believe this ideology or you go to, you know, a work camp. It's like that's what was evil about it. That's what we hated. That's what we're supposed to hate. That's what's supposed to define Nazi. But now if you don't want the censorship and you don't want the authoritarianism and you don't want the violence on the streets, that makes you a Nazi? Like, it's totally inverted now.
Yeah, you know, look, Harrison, the problem is that there is no sort of standard or respect for being able to discuss these issues in an honest way. Because I think that what happens is when you do discuss these issues in an honest way, there are some uncomfortable things that get brought up and uncovered. And it may have to do with answering some questions about why people of a certain religious denomination might feel like they need to respond in a way that's highly defensive of Israel, even in the worst situations. Like, nobody wants to say that, yeah, my country that I support, or, you know, my favorite country that I support is committing a genocide. Nobody wants to admit that. But reality is reality. And especially today, Harrison, it's very hard today to be able to hide the things that you're doing. Everything is happening in real time,
right?
Whether that's social, you know, the idea of this genocide that's the first ever to be live streamed, probably.
Right.
And so when people see this and they, like, in their heart, you can't lie to them and tell them that what you're seeing, you know, don't believe your lying eyes, what you're seeing is not real. And so a lot of people are not going to go along with that, and they're going to ask tough questions. And the fact of the matter is nobody wants to answer the tough questions. Israel doesn't want to answer the tough questions. These Israel First supporters don't want to answer the tough questions. And their favorite tactic when they don't want to answer tough questions is calling people anti-Semites and Nazis. And you know what? That itself is Nazi behavior, right? That
it literally is,
to smear people in such a manner, to disregard their opinions just because you don't feel like answering. And to put a really fine point on that, it's not just that they're behaving like Nazis, and that this is creating like an anti-Semitism, and it's rising. But you know, eventually people are going to tune out to it in a way that's really going to be problematic,
right?
For people who want to diffuse the situation. I can't talk any more sense into you because you've bought in finally, because you've pushed somebody too far, because you refuse to answer certain questions at a certain point. And so, you know, it's a radicalization engine that these people are participating in. And so if that does not stop, you know, at some point this is going to be a runaway train. And so we want to avoid when that happens, and smearing people with false labels. And also another part of that is the blood guilt thing. To go after VP Vance's staffer, Buckley, because his uncle is on Twitter shitposting, and because his father is interviewing Tucker Carlson, there's not a single thing on record of VP Vance's staffer Buckley saying anything anywhere. But he's having to come out and answer questions for what his father said or what his uncle said. That's blood guilt. That's right. Nazi stuff, right? And they're going full bore on it. And so, again, this is a radicalization engine that, if it's not stopped soon, it's going to be a runaway train. And eventually, me and you, nobody's going to be able to talk sense into people who have gone through that rigmarole.
Yeah, and it just seems so clear to me. And it's you know, but I don't really accept, like, if you tell me that America is doing something evil, I don't defend it. Like, that doesn't make any sense to me, and that I think confuses and enrages people. But it also is not internalized by a lot of people. I'm trying to think of how to say this. Like, you know, if people say, hey, America dropped a bomb on a you know, wedding and killed a bunch of innocent people, I'm not sitting there going, oh, so you're on the side of the terrorists now? It's like, I'll be like, no, yeah, that was bad. I'm really sorry that we did that. Now, I would not have done that if it was me, and I'm against who did that. And like, why would you not say that if that's how you feel? And why don't they feel that way? That, I think, is confusing to people. And then you've got the likes of like Dave Portnoy, who goes on TV and says, I get called anti-Semitic slurs every day. And it's like, well, do you think that's because you're Jewish? Do you think every Jew in America is getting called slurs? Or do you think that's because you, in particular, are a pretty intolerable person that has shown everybody that you freak out and cry if you get called an anti-Semitic slur? So now people are doing it to you deliberately to provoke you. Like, do you think Dave Smith or Max Blumenthal are getting called slurs? No, they're anti-Israel. They are pro-America, and nobody would associate them with the insane stuff that Israel's doing. So there's a lot of this, like, you know, causing problems and then, you know, saying you're the victim, like Dave Portnoy is always doing. It's very offensive to me. And then the idea that you're going to defend Israel no matter what, it's like, well, then I'm going to blame you when they do evil stuff and you're defending it. Like, why would you defend that? You shouldn't. And the result of you defending it is that people associate you with Israel, and so they don't like you because they don't like Israel. Why can't they see the process this is going, like the feedback loop that we're entered into? Because I agree with you. I like the way you put it, a radicalization engine or a radicalization feedback loop. We want to interrupt it and just go, let's have adult conversations about geopolitics and the role of Israel in American foreign policy. We cannot have that conversation because of the shrieking hysterics that come out the minute that that anybody is critical of Israel. It's not a good way to run a country, and it can't go on forever. Eventually, the dam's going to break. And yeah, people are getting more and more pissed off. It's just, you know, but then even trying to express that, I get called an anti-Semite. Like, how do we even talk about this without tripping these wires they've laid for us?
Well, the fact is that they've shown themselves that no matter what, if you try to avoid the wires or avoid trying to trip over this stuff, it's not going to matter, because they're going to find another way to label you, to smear you, to shut you up, right, at the end of the day. So there's no point in trying to actually avoid the wires. What you have to do is you have to bulldoze the entire building, right? You just got to, with your message, you just have to hope that you push through enough to the point that somebody registers what you're saying, or people register enough what you're saying that they're spreading it to other people. And maybe now you're getting into a place where your message is permeating to the point that you're diffusing the situation.
Right.
But the point, there's no point in avoiding the tripwires, because you can avoid the tripwires. Maybe you hit the tripwire, just a small one, right? They're going to cancel you. They're going to come and demand your head.
Right.
And then it's not going to be enough either, Harrison, right? That's the other thing. They don't, it's not that just these people who managed to successfully cancel me, you know, it's not that enough for that, for me to be fired. It's more important that now I don't be rehired anywhere, right? And that my career ends, and that I'm, and if anybody hires me, they're going to go through that struggle session too.
Right.
Did you just hire this guy, right? Did you just hire this anti-Semite? Did you see this cartoon that he posted?
Right.
Right. And so it never ends. So that's why you can't give an inch to these people in the first place. You cannot, it's better to, you know, forget, obviously use good judgment, but this whole thing of tiptoeing over tripwires is a no-go. It's better to bulldoze and push your message through 100% and never stop doing that. And hopefully enough people will have listened to it and will be on your side and ready to actually maybe fix something here, because something does need to be fixed, whether it's this conversation about Israel, how we're having that conversation, or just we want a new deal. We want the Gen Z wants a new deal with Israel, a holistic one, not just about foreign aid. You know, oh, you see a lot of these Israel firsters now talking about, oh, yeah, we're going to get rid of, you know, Israel is down to get rid of the foreign aid. And it's like, okay, that's a start. It's one thing, but that's not the whole point here, right? There's a whole lot going on that we want a holistic deal out of all of this. And if Israel's not willing to let us, first of all, let us figure out our deal for ourselves with them, if they're not willing to do that without interfering, then, you know, this again, this is it's all part of that radicalization engine where people are like, well, then I'm going to stop listening to Israel and I'm going to stop giving anybody who's pro their side a consideration and a voice in this debate. And that's, and then everybody's going to be crying then, and there's very little they're going to be able to do about it.
Yeah. And you know, I think you're right that we can't let ourselves be tripped up by these tripwires. But also, I'd say going the other way is a common response that is also, I think, ill-advised, where people go, oh, you're going to call me a Nazi? I guess I am one then. And it's like, guys, it's literally exactly what they want. Like, you're literally giving your enemies exactly the label they need to destroy you. Why would you do that? Or just why would you, like, fall for, like, they're trying to gin up hate because they literally need it. And so I just try to stay above all of it and just go, this is bad because it's bad. I don't care who's doing it or why. I'm going to be against it because I value innocent life, or whatever it happens to be. And I think just like being resolute and sticking with that is the only way forward. I want to go quickly to this video of Jonathan Pollard, because this gives you an idea about what you're mentioning. That's not just about foreign aid. It's about the fact that this guy was spying on us, and then somebody gave Trump money or twisted Trump's arm or something. He lets this guy out. Benjamin Netanyahu greets him like a victor on the tarmac. He's there waiting for his plane to arrive, like the amount of honor this guy's given. And listen to the way he talks about America and Israel, and then Mike Huckabee is meeting with him in secret. This is the guy Mike Huckabee met with, and I'll get Vishboro's comments quickly on the other side. But here's a video of Jonathan Pollard talking about threatening America with nukes. Let's watch.
Admit this. We are now feeding our enemy. I mean, this has never happened in history before, and you have to ask why. And I don't want to hear this business that it's consistent with Jewish morality. It isn't. Anybody saying that doesn't know anything about Jewish morality at all. Oh, let me bring you back to October 1973, during the Yom Kippur War, when Henry Kissinger instituted an arms embargo against us. And what happened? What happened was an A-4 Skyhawk was parked at Tel Nof Air Base with some interesting weapons under its wings. And we told the Americans, take your eye in the sky and take a good look at the airplane that's on that runway. And the next day, the airlift started to Israel, the arms airlift.
So in other words, we threatened their...
We threatened to use unconventional weapons. I'll leave it at that. And so he said, is this what you want us to threaten now? I said, absolutely, except this time I want us to go forward with it if necessary. If they think we're bluffing, we go forward with it. Look, as far as I'm concerned, when we are faced with an existential threat, we have the right to use any and all weapons in our disposal to eliminate that existential threat. A lot of people don't know anything about nuclear weapons at all, what they are, how they can be used. And I'm tired of using euphemisms. I'm tired of saying, well, we have something, you know, in the basement, but we won't be the first to introduce nuclear weapons in the Middle East. It's enough already.
All right, so that's Jonathan Pollard, spy who gave thousands of pages of military secrets to Israel in the 80s, was convicted, people resigned over it, and Trump let him out, and now Mike Huckabee's meeting with him. Like, this is the type of stuff that it's like, this guy is our enemy, man. He's threatening nuclear weapons to get America to do what he wants, and yet Mike Huckabee's meeting with him. This is the stuff I find intolerable, Vish.
It's not that it's just find intolerable. Look at the arrogance, right? And look at the hubris that's dripping from him as he says those things. You know, and maybe Mr. Pollard needs to be reminded, between the United States and Israel, only one of those nations has actually successfully dropped a nuke on anybody. Right. So he needs to be careful about who he's talking about. But for the matter is like, look, these guys are dripping with contempt, and they think that they're entitled, to whatever they're asking for from America. And if they don't get it, they're willing to, you know, basically create a nuclear holocaust of their own to get what they want. And so if that's the mentality driving Mr. Pollard there, and who knows, maybe it's the mentality that's driving Bibi Netanyahu and other leaders in Israel who have the power to maybe either make or influence that decision. If that's what's driving them, they're going to have a very, very long and tough road ahead trying to convince Americans of the future to get on board with them with some kind of friendship or alliance or any kind
100%.
Of
100%. This guy was an absolute traitor, and Bibi Netanyahu there is meeting him on the tarmac. So, I don't think there's any speculation about what side Bibi's on or how he feels about it. Vish, how can people support you? Well, what's next for you?
Well, listen. Stay tuned. I always have something very exciting coming out. I will definitely let the world know, and it will be for everyone to see. But keep following me on X at Vishburra, V-I-S-H-B-U-R-R-A. It's my number one social media platform. And just stay tuned, man. Nobody's going to be able to shut me up.
Bigger and better things ahead. Vishburra is not going anywhere. We're going somewhere, though. Thank you for being with us, everybody. That's the show. We'll see you tomorrow. Go to thealexjonesstore.com to support us. Thanks for being with us, Vish.
Thank you.
Real quick, I just wanted to plug the Methylene Blue. I'm a new supplement buyer from Alex Jones Store, and I keep hearing people talking about the Methylene Blue, and I'm like, you know what? I don't know what the hype is all about, but I definitely want to try it. And what I noticed is I didn't get the sensations that a lot of other people said that they got, you know, like the tingling fingers and like this, you know, euphoria. But I do have an ample amount of energy, and I'm disabled, so I'm a housewife, and whenever you're at home, day in and day out, 7 days a week, it really tends to drag after some time. And there were things that I wasn't doing around the house that I should have. But now I'm getting things done like really quick. I have all this extra time on my hands now. And I really think it's the Methylene Blue that's been giving me the energy. And it's so funny because now, like, my silly husband's calling me a meth head, which is hilarious. But, so I'm going to stick on that. And I actually have some bovine coming in today, so I can't wait to try that out. I'm also going to give that to my dog because, you know, I have a lot of help too. And I brought a line that's really good for your dog if you give them, like, a small little amount of the food. So I'm going to do that. I just thought I would tell you guys about my experience with this so far. So,
well, Jen, thank you. That's amazing to hear, and we love to hear that, honestly. I mean, that's the reason why Alex has created the shop, so people can get, you know, get healthier and not be relying on big pharmaceutical companies, but instead take control of their health. So that's good to hear. You know, I fluctuated weight-wise too, and so finding something that works is really important, and not to get hooked on those, like, high caffeine, insane chemicals, energy drinks, which so much of us have relied on over the years. I literally was getting anxiety from one of them. And so I too am on the blue these days. So I guess your husband would call me a meth head, but it's good to hear from you, Jen. I love it. I think it's great. And I love to hear from you as well.
receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.